You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
And I'm just going to pray for us before we get started. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use my words today to break chains in Jesus' name. God, I pray for revelation. God, I pray that people would hear your voice in a way they have never heard it before. God, use my voice. God, use me as a vessel to communicate your heart, to communicate your truth. And God, right now, I pray that there would be a release of purpose and a release of just your Holy Spirit that just stirs a revival in this church, God. God, that starts here but leaks out into our schools, to our workplaces, to our families, God. God, I pray that your kingdom will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if we're going to say amen, let's say it together. Awesome. Well, you've joined us on our second week of our How to Pray series. And today we're looking at purpose. It's going to be good. I was saying to Pastor Lee earlier, if you can't preach purpose and the kingdom of God, then you shouldn't be preaching, right? So we're just going to preach today and we're going to see what God does. But I am expecting for a move this morning. I'm expecting for healings. I'm expecting for purpose to be released over you as we speak the word, not necessarily my words unlocking something, but just the speaking of truth, the speaking of God's word is going to unlock something in you and through you as we look at the purpose of prayer. The scripture that we've grounded this whole series in this teaching, is found in Matthew 6, 9 to 14. We had a video last week, but I'm going to pray it for us now. And this is our scripture. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then there's a line Jesus speaking that says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The real tension point of the message that we're going to be speaking about today is that, and it's the same with praise actually, maybe that's why God's put it on my heart, is prayer without purpose just becomes a spiritual discipline. Our praise without purpose becomes a spiritual discipline. You see, songs are so powerful, but without purpose, without God's purpose, without, you know, a purpose of praise behind them, they're just songs. You see, we see the real power come in when there is a purpose behind it. Without purpose, your prayer life is just spiritual discipline. But when you understand purpose, and you understand the purpose of prayer, God will transform your perspective. God will change your reality as you step out of earthly living into kingdom living. When I was in high school, it's always a good story when we throw it all the way back to high school. I was one of those young people that was always asking why. But why? Why do I need to learn that? Why do you want me to do that? I'd be at home, my mum would be like, you need to, you know, get some discipline in your life. But why? There's probably still a little bit in me now, if I'm honest. But I was really a but why child. I am a but why person. And as much as I would butt heads with teachers when I couldn't understand their why, or I didn't see that actually their why was better than my why, I kind of, when I look back, I can see that for purpose first, we need to gain understanding. And there needs to be an understanding before we can fully step in to purpose. In hindsight, a lot of my teachers were probably, they were right about a lot of the stuff they were trying to teach me. And actually, when we don't have understanding and we can't understand the why or the purpose, the lesson that someone's trying to teach us, or the principle we're being taught, can seem pointless through the current perspective that we have. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've given up on prayer. Maybe you used to have a prayer life, but it just felt like you were speaking into existence. It wasn't really going anywhere. And maybe you've kind of lost the revelation of the power of prayer out of a lack of understanding of the purpose of prayer. We all have something built in us, don't we, that just wants to discover purpose. It's like hardwired for us to want to understand a why, for us to want to understand the purpose in our lives, in our families, in our friendships, in our church relationships, and purpose in our actions. I remember before I was a Christian, I had such a overwhelming sense of lack when it came to purpose. And actually, the jobs that I was doing, I just didn't understand why I was doing it. I didn't get why I was put on the earth, why there was breath in my lungs. And I was always asking these dramatic, big questions and, you know, listening to, you need to go and find yourself and go traveling and all of that cool stuff. And then when I got there, I discovered, this is the same. Nothing's changed. It's a little bit warmer, but my questions are exactly the same. The people that I'm around, they're still asking the same questions 40 years on. What is the direction, the trajectory of this searching that I'm doing out of this lack of understanding and lack of purpose? I just want to take a moment right now to speak to the people in the room that can identify with that place that I was in. And I just want to speak some truth over you right now before we go any further. And I want to help you understand first your purpose as a child of God. Your number one purpose before anything else is that you are a child of God. And as if that is the only purpose that you can understand right now, don't worry, because everything else will follow. It says in Psalms 139, you are a child of God. You are wonderfully made, dearly loved, and precious in His sight. It says in Galatians 3:26, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And 1 John 3 says, how great is the love of the Father that has been lavished on us all, that we should all be called children of God. You see, before we can understand the purpose in a discipline or in an action, we first need to understand the big picture purpose of our lives. And the big picture purpose is, you are a child of God. Without purpose, your prayer life is a spiritual discipline. But when you understand your purpose, the purpose of your prayer life, and through the purpose of your prayer life, God will transform your perspective and reality as you step into kingdom living. So today's teaching is taken from a section of teaching called the Beatitudes. And these teachings are Jesus giving a Sermon on the Mount, telling us how we can unlock our purpose by living as a child of God. That's the whole focus of these. So if you've not read them, then please go away and read them. You can find them in Matthew and in Luke. Please make that your homework, go and read them. And it's where our key scriptures come from, because Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you how to unlock your purpose through being a child of God. And when we look at the teaching, we've drawn out three things today in the Lord's Prayer that we're going to look at that unlocks purpose in your prayer life. So the first thing is your kingdom come. What Jesus is doing here is he's teaching purpose in our prayer through seeking first the kingdom. To shift, he's saying, shift your prayer life from yourself and onto seeking the kingdom of God. But what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, you can almost break it down as like the next level, a secret level that we get access to as Christians, a way of living that isn't of this world, a set of rules, a set of laws that doesn't just exist to everyone, but exists to those who are a child of God. The kingdom of God is in our midst right now. See, the kingdom of God isn't something that we need to wait for. Jesus died so that we can live in the kingdom of God today. It says in Luke, the kingdom of God isn't something that you can look for or is something that someone will say, here it is, because it is already in your midst. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at work. So Jesus is saying, shift your focus in your prayer life, not onto your worry, not onto yourself, not onto your own problems, but shift it onto what I am doing through the kingdom so that your focus is on him and not on the situation. The kingdom of God is at work right now through you all, through your prayer life. The purpose of prayer is for God to outwork his kingdom through your prayer life. In Matthew 13, we see Jesus describe the kingdom of God in quite a few ways. We see it in the parable, hidden treasure and the pearl. Here Jesus is saying it is great worth and it's worth your searching and sacrificing for. In the parable of the sower, we see its impact is determined by the condition of the person's heart. Our responsibility to sow and not to bring the harvest. In the parable of the mustard seed, we see that it can start small, but it grows into something large and impactful. We see in the parable of the great banquet that many are invited, but few accept. It's not a condition of social status, net worth, your tithe or your credentials, but it's through being a child of God that you gain access to the kingdom of God. Colossians 3 says, God's chosen people are set apart and sanctified for his purposes. As a child of God, you are called to be in the world, but not of the world. Your purpose for prayer is to spend time with God so that he can transform something on the inside so that when you are in the world, you're reflecting kingdom principle, reflecting kingdom mindset, not that of the world. So it's meant to feel a little bit awkward. It's meant to feel a little bit uncomfortable when you're in work and you're having a conversation and someone is, let's be honest, moaning and worrying at you, but you come at them with an encouragement rather than scooping down to their level. It is meant to be uncomfortable because what you are doing is you are reflecting the transformation that God has done on the inside of your life through prayer, and you are saying there is another way to live. You are a child of God. You can also step into this secret level, the kingdom living, a kingdom mindset, if through faith you accept what Jesus did on the cross for you. This is not a secret level to be kept in the church, but this is a secret level to be talked about. How my favorite kind of secret, a secret that I can talk about to everybody. If you don't get that, the front row are laughing because I'm terrible at secrets. Pastor Lee's like, amen. So allow the purpose of your prayer to unlock the kingdom of God in your life. The second thing that Jesus is teaching us in this little phrase is your will be done. Now, this is all about submission. Ugh, we don't like that word today, do we? Submission, surrender, and obedience. Or as Malcolm Hill would always repeat to me, surrender, listen, obey. Jesus is teaching us that the purpose of our prayer is to come before God and surrender ourselves. To lay ourselves down fresh. To say, position ourselves in a position of, it is your kingdom, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Which is so hard for us, isn't it? It's so hard for us to shift the focus onto what God's desires and God's plans might be and God's timing for our lives, rather than the premeditated plan and the five steps to success and the dream in your next 5 years way of living that the world is in. But the kingdom of God is not of the world. It is its own set of principles. It has its own way of outworking through prayer. So what Jesus is saying, he's saying, come before God. Surrender yourself, surrender your plans, surrender your desires of your heart, because the Father loves you and he wants to see the desires of your heart outworked. But what you need to do as a child of God is trust that he sees the bigger picture and to submit your plans, your desires in a position and an alignment for God to outwork them, but in his timing. The hardest lesson, isn't it? Not my timing, God, your timing. God, I trust that you love me and you see the many, many, many plans on my heart, God, and the desires and the things that I would love to do. But instead of me running and, you know, running around in circles, chasing my own tail, I'm going to trust you to outwork them through the kingdom of God. Because when we have a kingdom mindset, our desires don't just become our desires. When we go to God in prayer of surrender and we go to him in a way of allowing God to speak first to us, our prayers change from, God, these are my desires, please make them happen, to, Lord, what are the plans on your heart? God, how does how you've made me align with your purposes for this city? How does what you've put on my heart align with the local church that you've planted me in? God, how does what in my heart, how does that align in what you are doing globally through the church? God, how does my heart for wanting to feed the homeless align with what the local church are doing in the city? God, how does my gift of playing the guitar or being a bubbly person and welcoming people, how does that align with what you are doing through the church that you've planted me in? Allow the purpose of prayer to unlock God's kingdom in your life. And the third thing that Jesus teaches us through this little sentence, or this key sentence to Christian living, is on earth as it is in heaven. And what Jesus is doing is he's teaching us that the purpose of prayer is to seek to see the kingdom of God outworked here on earth. Our prayers should be prayers of saying, God, I want to see your desires and your plans outworked. It can be so easy for us just to hold on to our perspective. It can be so easy for us to bring God down to our level. But actually, Jesus is saying, through prayer, go to God and let him stretch your perspective. Let him stretch what you deem possible. The kingdom of God is already amidst us. The kingdom of God is already outworked. Jesus didn't die for us to wait for somebody else to come so that we could see the kingdom of God. Jesus came to die so that we could live in the kingdom principle here and now. N.T. Wright writes, Jesus, resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with life from heaven. That, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is about. It's not about us waiting till we get to heaven to get a new body and for us to not carry the back pain that we're currently feeling. It's not us waiting to get to heaven before we see restoration in our family. It's not waiting for us to get to heaven for this thing that you're believing for. But right now, Jesus died so that we could live in that reality right now. The kingdom of God is amongst us, it is amidst us. And last week we saw an overflow of heaven touching earth. And today we're going to see the same, because our praise will unlock something. Our purpose purpose of prayer is going to unlock something. Jesus is ready to move right here and now. And the question is, how are you aligning yourself with God's purpose? How are you seeking God through your prayer life? How are you seeking the kingdom through your prayers? How are you surrendering yourself before God and laying your desires before Him in your prayer life? The question is, how are you pleading with God and interceding with Jesus to see the kingdom outworked here and now? No more waiting in Jesus' name. The waiting is over. 2025, I prophesy, is the year that you step into life and life to the full, whether it be restriction of mental health or physical health. I'm believing that today chains are going to be broken, that you're going to step into a kingdom mindset of not being restricted, but actually being free. We've sang it already this morning. I have found my freedom. Is there freedom in the house today? Come on, is there freedom? The kingdom of God is already at work. Jesus is praying right now for you. He is saying, Father, don't let them live with this condition any longer. Our job is not to wait for heaven. Jesus' job is to release heaven on earth. So what are we waiting for? Why are we holding on to the things that God wants to release us from? I actually remember when I was living in a season of lack of purpose. There was something really beautiful about it, which is annoying, because I was so able to just write music. I was able to write from this like deep hurt or this like deep searching, and I was able to write songs, and there was something really addictive and like purposeful about me not having any purpose. Crazy. But that was actually the enemy trying to keep me distracted, was trying to keep me out of the will that God had for my life by making my lack beautiful, by making my lack serve me. And I'm believing today that there are people in the room where your lack is actually a story that you like talking about a little bit too much. And the first thing that you need to surrender is your lack, so that God can come, fill, and restore in Jesus' mighty name. In the kingdom of God, there is no room for lack. The table is already laid. There is a seat for you. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We are kingdom people. You are a child of God. God wants to use you to release healings, to release miracles, to release freedom to people that don't yet know Him, but also the people that do know Him, that have made their lack a beautiful story. So the question is less of a, well, the purpose of our prayer is less of a pleading act, but the purpose of our prayer is to seek the kingdom of God, to surrender ourselves, to surrender, listen, obey, and to pray to see the kingdom of God outwork in our lives. God's master plan and God's plan A is transformation in your life. We can put events on in the football stadium. We could do the big give. We can do all of these things that show and display the love of God. But the most powerful thing and the number one thing that God has is transformation in your life that reflects the kingdom of God for the people that knew you when you had lack, and they watched the journey of you go from lack to purpose. That is God's number one plan, is to transform something in your life so that you can take what was meant for harm and people can see it working for good. It can be really easy to tell the stories of the scars that we have rather than allowing God to come and heal us from the scars. And today I just believe that God wants to just minister in many ways.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.